It's all yours.
It's kind of funny because I was thinking the exact opposite. Here you see me up here and you're going, I got up an hour early for this. So, you know, either way you're going to look at it, I suppose. Do appreciate you being here, because as I was thinking about it this morning, I thought, you know, the people that come on Time Change Sunday when you lose an hour of sleep, you're here on purpose. You had to make an extra effort to be here, because I woke up this morning when my alarm went off and I was tempted to say, oh, I forgot. You know, because it's real easy to tell people you forgot. So you're here on purpose, and I appreciate that very much. We're going to look at the same thing I'm going to leave here in 30 minutes and teach to the third, fourth, and fifth graders. We're going to go a little bit a different direction with it, but we're going to look at the same thing. I've been going through what I would consider a mini discipleship course. I had a lot of kids get saved on anniversary Sunday, and a lot of them just, they don't grow up in a Christian home. They don't know what it means to be a Christian. And whether you know it or not, being Christian has a lot more to do with things than just going to heaven. There's a lot more to it. And so we've been going through just a few things, the basics of what being a Christian is. And today we're going to be talking about prayer. Because I know I grew up and I heard a lot of people praying, but I can say honestly, growing up in a Christian home, nobody ever taught me how to pray. They ever never sat down and said, this is how somebody prays. These are kind of the things you pray for. And so it wasn't until college that I was taught a lesson, I guess you would call it. And we're going to kind of go through those things. The illustration I'm using for the kids is this one right here. Just using their hand, because I think it for the kids, hopefully it'll be a little simpler to remember so that we can use their hand and teach me to pray. We praise God, confess your sins, thank God, pray for others, pray for yourself, and then there's a closing. And so it's just a simple thing, hopefully to help them remember. We get a lot of this out of what the Bible gives us, what Jesus Christ gave as what we would call the model prayer. That we find in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. The disciples themselves came to Jesus because they had that opportunity, and they said, hey, God, can you teach us to pray? We want to know how to pray. Can you imagine being one of the disciples and just getting to hear Jesus talk to the Heavenly Father? Wouldn't that make you stop and realize, I don't have a clue what I'm doing? He seems to have things figured out. And they asked him this question, and this is his response, Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so if we take a look at that and kind of break down this model prayer, and we take and we compare scripture with scripture, we can find a different illustration. This is the one that if you want a better better teaching on this, you get from Brother Bill Bradley in the college class on prayer. Totally opened my eyes onto what prayer truly was. I'm only going to briefly touch this. These notes are not from me. I don't know who created them. I don't know if he got them from some other person. But the illustration I showed with the hand is what I'm going to show the kids. What I'm going to show you now is the illustration that I was taught in college and the thing that I remember and that helps me when I pray, and that's to pray with an axe. Not really an axe. Although that would be comical if every time somebody prayed at the pulpit, they had to pull out an axe and everything. Maybe I'm weird, but I'd think that'd be fun. Okay, not pray with an axe, but to pray with axe. A-C-T-S. And this I don't use with the kids because it uses a lot of words that the kids just aren't going to understand, because when I look at the words, I don't really understand them either. But hopefully, because we're older and we're wiser and we know more, we'll be able to figure this out. All right, to pray with acts. Number one, we pray with adoration. Adoration, praise or worship to our God. In the Bible, we see Psalm 107 in verse number 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. When God gave the model prayer, God first said, the first thing he said was, our Father, hallowed be thy name. He took a moment in adoration, in praise to his God. So we've got A for adoration, C is for confession. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Confession, you also have 1 John verses 1-9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we come to God in prayer, we need to remember to A, come in adoration. C, come in confession, confessing our faults, because we are a faulty people, are we not? And then T is thanksgiving. God's done a lot for us. I talk with the kids all the time, and I say, you know, how much does it hurt you when you do something special for someone and they don't even say thank you? Can you imagine God does so much for us and we don't take the time to just simply say thank you? Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. God wants us to always remember to just simply say thank you. So in this little help here to remind us how to pray, A, adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, and then S would stand for supplication. Supplication, or asking God to meet our, supply our needs. We have in Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to come to him with these four things. In adoration, he wants us to come to him. With confession, he wants us to come to him. With thanksgiving and with supplication. Now, this helps me because I don't know if you've ever been there before, but you decide you're going to take some time, you're going to spend some time in prayer, and then as you kneel before God, as it were, you almost don't know what to say. You know, you just can't really think about much to pray about. And this helps me because it reminds me of some things that I need to pray for, some things I need to do. But what I did is, as I've been studying for this lesson, my lesson with the kids this morning is pretty much going to stop right about here, teaching them how to pray. And I'm going to show you what the Lord did in my heart as I started studying prayer. I started looking back and looking in my own heart and thinking about my own prayer life. Have I been doing well in these four areas of my prayer life? Have I been doing a good job? And what I found out as I took and I tried to figure out how much of my prayer life and how much I was doing of each of these four things, this is what I noticed in myself. I noticed first off that 80% of my prayer life was in supplication. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What I'm saying is what I noticed. God told us to cast our cares upon him. God told us to bring our needs to him. God wants us to do that. I'm not saying when you come to God and you're asking him for your needs and for the needs of others that it's a bad thing. What I'm showing you is that in my prayer life, I noticed that 80% of my prayer life, if not more, was all focused around me and my needs and on the needs of others. So then we've got a little bit, I got a little section in red. What's that? That would be thanksgiving. Thankfully, I do remember every so often to just simply tell God thank you, be it for something large that he's done for me, or be it for something small, the things that I tend not to remember. You know, how often God keeps me safe on the roads, and there's accidents on the roads every day, and I wasn't part of one of them. So it's something to be thankful for. So I'd say 10% of my prayer life was in thanksgiving. Well, then, in my life, confession was about, I'd say, 8%. I don't like admitting when I've done things wrong. I don't like going to God and saying, God, guess what? I messed up again. And so I tend to find myself avoiding that just because I don't like admitting I'm wrong. You can ask my wife about that. I don't like admitting I'm wrong. Doesn't matter how wrong I am. She can be right, and I'll still be stubborn and try and say that I'm right even though I know I'm wrong. I don't like admitting I'm wrong. And so lacking in my personal prayer life was confession. But what really stood out to me was the tiny sliver I had left. 1-2% of my prayer life has been in adoration. And this is just me honestly looking at myself. When I come to God in prayer, 1-2% of my time talking to God is me spent in time worshiping my God. And as I looked at that, and as when I kind of put that down on paper and I looked at that pie chart, I kind of went, that might be a problem. Not with anyone else, but just with me. Now, once again, all four of those things are things God wants us to do. And so I'm not saying that my prayer life is not pleasing to God, or I'm not saying that God wants me to stop praying. And I'm not saying that if your pie graph looks anything like mine, that it's just give up and stop praying. No, not at all. What I'm looking at that saying is there something that I need to focus a little bit more on when I pray? Do I need to try and balance that chart out a little bit? God does not say that every time he prays, he wants 25% of each one of these four things. Because sometimes things are going wrong, and you're on your face before God, and you have a huge need, and you're going to spend 100% of your time in supplication. God, I need your help. And there's nothing wrong with that. But as a whole, as I looked through my life, and I looked at my prayer life as a whole, am I truly worshiping my God in my prayers? Now, I'm going to give you something that is a horrible, horrible definition, okay? If you're going to look up in a dictionary, or if you're going to try and define something through the scriptures, you're not going to find this definition. It's not a hardline definition like I'm going to make it look like up here on the screen. But what this is something that helped me understand what the adoration really was. Okay, so hopefully this will make sense to you, because this is the way my brain had to work. Okay, number one, I looked at praise. And I wanted to try and understand what it meant to praise God. Now, once again, this definition is not hard-nosed. When you take praise and adoration and worship, those can be all intermingled together. I'm going to draw a hard line where there is none. This is just my understanding. Okay? So we've got praise. Praise is an outward motion. From my understanding, praise would be like me coming here and me looking in front of others and telling others about God's goodness. It's outward. It's me affecting the hearts of others. I'm telling you that my God is amazing. I'm praising my God in front of you. I'm lifting his name higher, and it affects your hearts because it's praise to God. Okay, so if that's praise, then what would be the difference between praise and adoration or worship? What would be the difference? The difference in my heart's understanding is that praise is outward, worship would be more inward. It doesn't affect the hearts of anyone around me. That's something between me and my God. That's me worshiping my God. Now, so you can sit in a service with many people around you singing a hymn, and a lot of people can be praising God outward. But are we worshiping God inward? Are we focusing on the words we're saying? Are we singing these words to God himself? Because worship is me telling God about his goodness. Me taking a moment and stopping for a moment and saying, when I'm talking to God, hallowed be his name. He's holy. Do you think God knows he's holy? Yeah. Do you think God knows he's an almighty creator? He knows these things. It's an inward act on my part. This is me standing before God, reminding him of who he is and reminding myself of who he is. So my question I had to ask myself is when we pray, do we adore our God? Do we worship our God in prayer? When I looked at that, the sad answer was, for me, most of the time, I do not. I spend more time on me, and rarely do I ever take the time to just stop and adore my God for a moment. Remind myself who he is and what he's done for me. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, with me to Psalm chapter number 95. Psalm 95. If you're not familiar with your Bible, just open to the very middle of your Bible. You'll probably be in the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter number 95. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. As you read through the Psalms, you find out that David, a man after God's own heart, by the way, David knew how to adore his God. David knew how to stop, even in the midst of all the trials and the tribulation and the troubles that David faced, David knew how to stop and adore his God. Psalm chapter 95, verses 1 through 6. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. God wants us to take a moment, just a mere moment in our prayer life, and just stop and remember who it is we have the privilege of talking to. Who it is we're coming to. Who it is that I get to come before the very throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I get to do that. So often in my own prayer life, when I'm praying, I don't even realize who it is I'm talking to. I've gotten so used to it. I've gotten so grown so accustomed to prayer that I don't remember who it is I'm talking to. So how do we do this? How do we move from someone like myself who is not spending the time in adoration to God like I'm supposed to? How do I do that? How do I train myself in that? How do we adore our God? Well, this is something that as I was studying on this, that I read about that somebody else did, and I picked it up as something that I've been starting to do here recently. And it's something that I would encourage you to do if you find yourself not really adoring your God in prayer, then maybe this will help you like it's been helping me. Pick a feature. Pick one thing about your God and just meditate on that for a moment. How does that work? Turn with me in Psalm chapter 29. Psalm chapter 29 I find interesting because it's the psalmist David focuses for just a brief moment on one thing about his God. Just one thing. He says a lot of other things, but Psalm chapter number 29, verses 1 through 11, the psalmist David for a moment starts to think about the very voice of his God. He just starts to think about God's voice. What is God's voice like? What is it going? How can I compare God's voice to the way I could understand it? And so let's read through all of Psalm 29, or at least verses 1 through 11. I can't remember if that's all of it or not. Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest, and his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. If you just take a brief moment out of your prayer time and just think about one thing about your God, it's a lot easier to put things in his hand. When you start thinking about just the voice of God, I can't compare the voice of God to anything. It breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. The strongest things I can think of, God merely needs to speak, and they're down. This is the God that I'm talking to. If we would just take a brief moment and adore our God, how do we do that? I've printed off two lists that I use now when I pray. I've printed off a list of the attributes of God, and I've printed off a list of the names of God. And what I do is, before I pray, I just thumb through that list and pick out one thing about my God. I can't give you the entire list, but just look through this list. The Lord God, the Most High God, the God of truth, the God of my salvation, the God in heaven, the God of my mercy, the Most High God, the faithful God. Oh, if we just briefly would adore the living God, the holy God, if we would just take a mere moment and remember who it is we are talking to, the God that forgives, our everlasting God, God my helper, God my rock. If we would just take a moment and look through what our God truly is, the God of my righteousness. God looks in me and sees me as righteous because of Jesus Christ, the Lord my God, the Lord mighty in battle. That is just a portion of the list, just a brief glance at who our God is. Can I ask you, when you pray, do you remember who it is you're talking to? There's a man by the name of S.M. Lockridge. I know nothing about the man, not a clue. I caught a glimpse, a mere cut of a message he preached, and it was preached back in 1976. Once again, I don't know the man. I'm not encouraging anyone to go out and study after this man or get all of his messages, because he could have been preaching heresy or before or after this 6-minute clip. I don't have a clue. But this man took a moment and thought about his God, the King of Kings. And in his message, he spent a moment adoring his God. I want you to with me, as we watch and listen to this little video clip, it's not of the greatest quality, but I ask that we just spend a few moments thinking about when we come to God in prayer, this is who we get to talk to. This is who we get to come to when we pray. We don't just get to talk to any other person. It's the King of Kings.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He starves God and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. Yeah. My King, yeah. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. Yeah. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my thing. Is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forever, then amen.
That is the King that we get to come to. That is the King that we get to bring our needs to. That is the King that allows us an audience before his very throne and listens to every word we say. That's our King. Have you grown so accustomed to prayer that you have forgotten who you are talking to? I encourage you today, I encourage you this week, to spend a mere moment. Just pause for a moment and give God the glory he deserves. Think about who he is. Think about what it is that he has done for us. To simply stop for a brief moment and say, God, I am talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are listening to every single thing I say, and you care about me. God, I get to talk to you. Do we take a moment to remember who it is we're talking to? A mere moment of time. And instead of like me, instead of getting on my knees in prayer and saying, God, I need this and God, I need that, to simply say, God, you're an all-powerful God, and I've got some stuff I want to talk to you about, but let me set myself aside for a moment and just remind myself of who it is you are. Because when I remember that I'm talking to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, all that other stuff gets a lot smaller. It's nowhere near as important to me as it used to be, because I'm serving and I'm talking to an all-powerful God. A God that knows my every need. A God that cares about every single thing I deal with in this life. God, forgive me for not stopping and adoring my God. For not taking a mere moment of my ever so important life and saying, God.